On a blue background, a glowing pinpoint of light arcs over the light blue outline of a castle, with spires and flags. Words appear in a flash. Walt Disney Pictures. Snowflakes flurry past a title, Mickey's Magical Christmas. Our view drifts past thick clouds to the snow-covered House of Mouse. Inside, the audience faces Mickey Mouse, who stands on stage wearing a Santa hat.
Well, everybody, that's our show. Thanks for spending Christmas Eve at the House of Mouse. Here's wishing everybody a Merry Christmas and a safe trip home.
Mickey joins Minnie and Pluto backstage.
Oh, what a great show!
Oh, Mickey, it was just wonderful. And now we can all celebrate our own Christmas at home.
But we can't go home.
Huh?
Where's Snow Dan?
Well, this is a fine predicament.
Aw, it can't be that bad. Aw, no.
He peers out the window at dense snowdrifts.
Did you hear, Belle? We can't go home.
We can always build a home.
I'm sure Mickey will think of something.
I thought of something. We can have our own Christmas party right here.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea.
Humbug.
Humbug? What's wrong, Donald?
Once again, he just doesn't have the Christmas spirit.
We'll see about that.
Later, Huey, Dewey, and Louie perform on a stage.
Hot cocoa and cookies coming through.
Daisy pushes out a fireplace and Lumiere lights it. Mickey and Pluto decorate a small Christmas tree. Donald sits in a chair with his arms crossed.
Now this Christmas party is really starting to warm up.
Hey, Mickey, look what I found.
Oh, boy! A box of our all-time favorite Christmas stories.
Come on.
Bug? We'll have what he's having.
Timon, I think that humbug is something that you say when you don't have any Christmas spirit.
Come on, Donald. This'll get you into the spirit of the season. It's a story about you.
A movie plays on the screen. In it, Huey, Dewey, and Louie look at a hanging sign.
Snowman contest! Today, we gotta win!
Huey blows bubblegum, then rolls the bubble down a hill, forming a snowball. Dewey forms a cannon out of snow, then fires a big snowball on top of the first. Louie bounces snow like a basketball, then throws it on top of the other two, forming a snowman. Louie slingshots two pieces of coal to form the snowman's eyes. Dewey chews on an ear of corn, turning it into a pipe. He tosses it into the snowman's mouth. He takes a carrot from a rabbit and makes it the snowman's nose. The brothers yank off their coat buttons and toss them at the snowman. They add a scarf and two stick arms to their creation.
Okay, we're gonna win for sure. But we're not done yet.
Huey pulls out a top hat and his brothers high five. With a bounce in his step and a smile, Donald marches toward the frozen pond. He jumps into a pair of ice skates and glides across the ice. He slips and lands on his back. Donald climbs to his feet, then struggles to stay upright. Frustrated, he stands up. He lands on his head. Donald gets to his feet and balances on the frozen pond. He raises his hands over his head. He slips and lands on his stomach. As he lifts his head, he pulls out a chunk of ice stuck to his beak. He tries to yank it off. Using his ice skates, he pushes against the chunk of ice with his feet, but it snaps back. Donald tries again and bounces around the ice on his behind. He lands on the hole in the frozen surface. He falls through. Later, Donald skates on the pond with two pillows tied to his body. He trips and bounces off the hard frozen surface. He zooms toward a row of wooden barrels. He tosses away the pillows, then easily leaps over the barrels. Donald lands on the ice, but snags his foot on a stick. Flailing, he soars toward his nephews building their snowman. They push the large snowman out of his path. Donald turns at an awkward angle and crashes into the snowman. Emerging from the pile of snow, he spits out the carrot nose. Marching away, he tosses the top hat onto the snow pile. His nephews glare at Donald as he skates away. They huddle together. Later, Donald's nephews watch him skate across the pond. Using a huge mallet, they drive a thick metal stake into the frozen pond's surface. A deep crack spreads across the ice toward Donald. He trips and falls. The crack continues across the ice. Donald starts to skate away. He stops and spots the crack close behind him. The crack turns away, then follows Donald as he skates away. The crack crashes through a boulder. Donald skates through wooden barrels, which splinter into planks and form a makeshift picket fence. A gate opens and the crack continues through the fence. As Donald skates on the pond, the crack encircles him. The ice breaks away, leaving Donald on an ice floe, which melts. Donald balances on a small chunk, then speeds across the surface of the water. He lands in a snowbank. Donald shakes off the snow. He spots the crack moving up the mound of snow toward him. Donald takes off. He skates across a log and the skate's blades whittle it into a canoe. The boat breaks in two. Donald skates up a tree and clings to the top branches. The crack zooms up toward him, splitting the thick trunk. The tree splinters and tosses him off it. Donald lands in a snowbank and the two halves of the tree land on either side of him. Donald flees into a cave. A sign outside the entrance reads, "Danger, abominable snowman, do not disturb." The crack in the ice follows Donald into the pitch-black cave. Donald's eyes move in the darkness. He looks at a pair of glowing eyes, which rise above him. He lights a match, revealing a towering, angry-looking snowman. The crack in the ice moves closer to Donald and the abominable snowman, who roars. The crack stops and cowers on the ground. The snowman blows out Donald's match. It chases Donald out of the cave. Donald zooms back through the picket fence and closes the gate behind him. The snowman breaks through the fence, turning the wood planks back into barrels. Donald continues under the surface of the snow, uprooting several trees. He hits a tree trunk and snow falls on his head. Donald continues burrowing under the snow. On the ice-covered pond, Huey, Dewey, and Louie stand by their snowman. They spot their uncle speeding toward them under the snow. They all rise from a mound of snow and find the abominable snowman towering over them.
We have a winner! And here is your prize!
A contest judge offers him a pair of ice skates. The abominable snowman grins and proudly poses for photos. Later, he skates across the frozen pond. Donald backs away from his nephews, who throw snowballs at him. In the House of Mouse, Donald sits with his arms crossed.
Did seeing Bad help your Christmas spirit?
Oh, humbug.
Well, I have an idea of what might help. Hearing some Yuletide wishes.
Good idea, Minnie, because earlier today, I went out on the street to see what everybody wanted. What would you like for Christmas?
That's easy. My two front teeth. Already got those.
The lamp. Get me the lamp.
What do we want for Christmas? How about bunk beds?
No strings to hold me down.
Bugs, grubs, worms, and beetles.
And air freshener.
Your voice will do nicely.
I wish I wasn't a dumb old llama anymore.
What do I wish for Christmas, Mickey? I wish that everyone will find their inner beauty.
You know, you're all I wish for, Minnie.
Aw, Mickey, that's sweet.
Now, what do you say we keep the party going with Professor Ludwig von Drake and the Science of Santa?
Today, the professor is going to explain how Santa can fly all over the world in only one cute little night. If there was milk and cookies there waiting for me, I'd be flying all over the place myself.
Ludwig bites a gingerbread man. A cookie in the audience faints.
Ludwig, have you been in the cookie jar again?
Not now, Mummy. I'm doing my little science demonstration. What was I talking about? Oh, yes. Santa Claus is getting everywhere so fast because he is driving this turbocharged Santa sleigh with dual toy bags. This buggy goes so fast that Santa can be in more than one place at the same time. Hello there. Look what I brought for me. The cookie jar.
Ludwig!
Quick, step on it.
Two Ludwigs fly away.
Okay, admit it. Hearing all about Santa had to help put you in the Christmas spirit. Right, Donald?
Nothing seems to be working.
Aw,
even my trusted pup Pluto wants to help out.
Well, then what do you say we show a story about Pluto?
How about the one where Pluto and I pick out our Christmas tree together?
Yes. A movie plays. On a snowy night, Mickey steps out of his house. He holds an axe. Pluto hops out behind him.
Okay, Pluto, let's get our tree.
They head out into a wooded area. Pluto eagerly runs across the snow. Nearby, Chip and Dale gather acorns. Chip notices Pluto. He throws an acorn at Pluto. The dog spots the chipmunks, who mock him. Dale mimes sniffing a tree. Pluto charges after them. They make a sharp turn past a mound of snow. Pluto plows right into the snowbank. A Pluto-shaped chunk of snow slides out of the other side of the mound. Chip and Dale hide in a tree. Mickey chops at the tree. The chipmunks cling to the branches as the tree topples over.
Oh boy!
Pluto examines the snowy version of himself, and it crumbles.
Okay, Pluto. All right. Come on, let's go.
Pluto follows Mickey, who drags the tree behind him. Dale drops out of it. He turns and finds Pluto trotting toward him. Dale hurries back into the thick branches. At home, Pluto and Mickey decorate the tree. Inside the tree, Chip peeks out from behind the trunk.
Hey, wake up!
Dale looks out. They scurry onto a branch and admire the colorful decorations.
Well, what do you know?
Mickey hangs a candy cane on a branch. Dale holds out a tiny branch as Mickey hangs more candy canes. The mouse hangs an ornament on Dale's branch. The chipmunk tries to take a bite, then spots his reflection in the ornament. He scurries off, then returns. He timidly reaches out to the round blue ornament. He laughs. Dale carries the ornament on the tiny branch and hangs it over Chip's head. Chip stands up quickly, cracking the ornament with his head. He sits among the shattered glass remnants. Chip bonks Dale on the head.
Well, Pluto, that's it.
Mickey walks away from the decorated tree. With a wide grin, Pluto stares up at it. He spots a blue light flashing from the branches. He moves closer and sniffs the tree. Dale twists a blue light back and forth. Behind him, he spots Pluto's nose sniffing around the branch. Dale grabs the dog's nose and twists. He tries again. Pluto spots the chipmunk on the end of his nose. In the tree, Chip carries a candy cane. He uses it to snatch Dale from Pluto's nose. Dale barks at Pluto, then tosses an ornament. Pluto grabs it before it hits the floor. Dale throws more ornaments and Pluto catches them. Mickey enters with presents.
Hey! Cut it out! There! Is that better?
He hangs the ornaments back on the tree. Pluto points at an ornament moving up the side of the tree. As Mickey looks, it disappears among the branches.
Oh, Pluto!
Mickey leaves. Pluto spots Dale gathering acorns from a bowl. He sneaks toward the chipmunk. Holding several acorns, Dale spots Pluto and slowly backs away. Dropping the acorns, Dale scurries away. Pluto chases after him and slams into a fireplace. Disguised as a candle, Dale hides on the mantle with other candles. Pluto sniffs him, and the chipmunk sneezes. Mickey enters with a large gift. Pluto points at Dale on the mantle.
Okay, I'll light the candles.
Mickey lights candles beside Dale. The chipmunk blows out Mickey's match. Mickey lights the wick atop Dale's head. Pluto scowls at Dale on the mantle. Chip peeks out from the tree. He scurries to the floor and yanks on Pluto's tail. Pluto lifts him on his tail.
Thank you.
Chip hops onto the mantle. He snuffs out Dale's flame and they hurry off. Pluto chases the chipmunks through the living room. With his feet stuck inside small gift boxes, Pluto chases the chipmunks up a ladder and into the tree. Pluto balances at the top of the ladder. On the floor, Dale shakes a leg of the ladder. Chip scurries up the ladder and adjusts a hinge. Dale pushes the ladder over. Chip drops the star-shaped tree topper on Pluto's tail. The chipmunks dance on a branch. Pluto leaps into the tree. Mickey tries to yank Pluto out of the tree. The decorations and needles fall off the branches.
You dumb mutt! Now look what you've done to our... Pluto! We've got chipmunks in our tree! Cute little fellows! Pluto! After all, it is Christmas!
Mickey and Pluto look outside. Minnie, Goofy, and Donald sing carols in the snow. Chip covers Pluto's mouth with a sticker reading, "Do not open till Xmas." At the House of Mouse.
Gee, that was swell! Isn't it nice seeing everybody get along?
Pluto spots the chipmunks. Dale slaps another sticker on Pluto's mouth. Backstage, Donald scowls.
Oh, Donald, I wish you'd have the Christmas spirit. You have so much to be thankful for.
Uh-huh, like I'm thankful for Mickey.
And I'm thankful for my new hat.
Say, what's everybody else thankful for?
I'm thankful for friendly mice who make nice evening wear.
Cinderella's mice share a smile.
I'm thankful for laughter, joy, and the high-spirited glee that fills my heart to overflowing.
Mushu slides onto the stage.
All right, people, listen up. Mushu's on stage now, so pay attention. Time to give thanks for the important stuff. I'd like to thank the guardian spirit. Yeah, you guys, I love you. And Mulan for making me a great big movie star.
Cricky joins him.
All right. Hold your horse, flies. I see you. I'm thankful for the little people, too.
But we don't even know him.
The one thing I'm thankful for most is my hat. All hats, in fact, if you can believe that. Hats that are tall, and hats that are small, and hats that are totally off of the wall. Hats that are solely for use by Stromboli, and hats which are made up of giant broccoli. I'm grateful for hats of all shapes and all sizes, but I love my hat best, cause it's full of surprises.
Tweedledee and Tweedledum applaud.
There now, Donald, you see? There's lots of reasons to have the Christmas spirit.
Well, why don't you take a look at how I decorated my house today? Jingle those bells, boys!
Another movie plays. Mickey carries a box labeled Xmas stuff. He brings it out onto his porch, and Pluto trots behind him. Mickey tosses the box, and smaller boxes pop out of it. He grabs a string of garland and toy airplane. Pluto nods enthusiastically. Mickey throws the plane with the garland attached to its tail. It loops around the porch railing and columns, decorating them with garland. Using his tail, Pluto launches ornaments which land in the garland. Outside the front door, Mickey sits on Pluto and cranks his tail like a car jack. Pluto rises, lifting Mickey higher. The mouse hangs a wreath on his front door. Mickey yanks on the wreath and it sprouts mouse ears like his. Now, Mickey pumps a bellows, which spits out a string of lights decorating the whole house. He plugs them in and a giant star shines brightly on the roof. The shimmering light glows at the center of town. At the House of Mouse, Donald's nephews play instruments on stage. Minnie presents Mickey with a small Mickey-shaped nutcracker.
Oh,
Mickey, look!
Aw, the nutcracker! Why, even Donald's gonna love that!
Now here's a Christmas story with a new twist. And it was made all the sweeter because of my Mickey.
Minnie kisses him.
Gosh!
Another movie plays.
It is December 24th, Christmas Eve.
Minnie peers through a door's keyhole.
Young Maria has been waiting all day for this moment.
Christmas is here!
Everything shone and glittered in the loveliest manner. Who, oh, who could describe them all?
I can. Now, this here is a nice little dolly. And here's a cookie cuckoo clock. Oh, and look, it's a choo-choo train.
Excuse me, I am trying to narrate.
Well, you said you wanted someone to describe all of this stuff here.
That was a rhetorical question. Pretend like I'm not here.
How do you expect me to ignore a big booming voice that's blabbering all of the time?
Just ignore me.
All right, have it your way. Ooh, somebody could use a little Isthmus Gray irrit spade.
This year, Godpapa Drosselmeyer had made a special gift for young Maria.
All right, little one. Now, this took me all...
It had taken him all year to build.
Right, all year. It's a beautiful...
A beautiful nutcracker doll.
Oh, you're no narrator. You're just a great big surprise spoiler.
Ignore me and just give her the doll.
Fine, fine. All right. Here's the no longer a surprise nutcracker. Take it already.
He's so handsome.
Oh, thank you. You know, I have been taking care of myself. I've been doing some jogging and weightlifting and... Oh, you're talking about the doll. Yeah, he's cute too.
Minnie winds up the Mickey Mouse nutcracker toy. It takes off its hat and gives a bow. Minnie removes the bow from her head and bows. They both spin. The nutcracker leaps across the floor, his body and neck stretch to the music. The toy marches across the floor. He jumps and twirls on a rocking horse. Minnie watches the toy leap to Professor Ludwig's beak, then springboard off of it. The toy dances. Minnie mimics it. Its legs spin. Minnie tries to do the same, but falls. The nutcracker bounds across a pile of gifts, then springs up from a bowl of walnuts. Using a toy sword, he cracks the shells. Minnie eats the walnuts. The discarded shells hit Professor Ludwig in the face. Minnie eats more walnuts. The nutcracker chops his way through the remaining nuts. A pile of shells covers Professor Ludwig. Minnie embraces the toy.
Thank you, Godpapa Drosselmeyer.
Wait a minute! He's not supposed to dance. Must be a loose cogwheel in here somewhere.
You broke him!
Right, just for that, I'm kicking you out of the story.
Professor Ludwig lands in the snow. Inside, Minnie hugs the nutcracker.
Oh, I'll take the greatest care of you and nurse you till you're quite better and happy again. There, just as handsome as ever. Oh, if only you were real.
Maria thought she saw the nutcracker smile. Perhaps it was a trick of the light. Perhaps something else.
Minnie shrinks to the nutcracker's size. She lands on the toy train. The large rocking horse moves toward her. She runs into a toy clown's large foot. She lands in a pair of roller skates and zooms off. She dangles from a piece of garland. Holding his sword, Mickey faces Minnie. He cuts her free from the garland.
Maria, I want to thank you for your kindness.
Maria was no longer frightened. In the twinkling of the Christmas lights, her beloved nutcracker looked more handsome and dashing than ever.
A spotlight shines down on them. They shrug, and Mickey spins Minnie. He twirls his sword. Minnie takes his hand and spins him. He adjusts his hat and dances with her. They balance on ornaments as they roll across the floor. Mickey pulls Minnie in a sleigh. They roll across the floor on a wreath, Minnie on the inside and Mickey on top. Mickey and Minnie balance on bouncing toy tops. They ride rocking horses. They bounce on stuffed toys. They rapidly run on pinwheels. Under the tree, they use candy canes to skate across the floor. Large, ornate snowflakes gently fall around them. They come to a stop and hold hands.
Suddenly, there began a sort of wild kickering and squeaking loudly and all about. Oh my gosh! It's the Mouse King!
I don't want to be the Mouse King! This is ridiculous! Bye-bye!
Wait, Donald!
You know, the Mouse King wins.
Who does?
Yes, yes, the Mouse King wins in the end. You get the girl.
Oh, boy, I'll do it.
The Mouse King, who will win in the end, had come for Maria. He wanted her to be his queen.
Don't worry, I'll protect you.
Donald kicks Mickey toward the tree.
Oh, no!
Minnie gets trapped in a cyclone. She lands inside a snow globe on Donald's scepter. Mickey cuts himself free from the Christmas tree and falls to the floor. Donald rides in the engine of the toy train. Mickey chases after him. The train drives inside a gift box, which snaps closed, leaving Mickey on the outside of it.
Something's screwy going on here.
Hey, Mickey!
Goofy, what are you doing here? You're not in the Nutcracker.
I am now.
But what are you supposed to be?
I be helping you.
No. What role are you playing?
Oh, Hamlet?
Can I get a little help here?
Nope, I'm staying out of this one.
Goofy, what role are you playing from the Nutcracker?
Oh, right. I'll be the magical snow fairy who can instantly transport you to the evil Mouse King's hidden kingdom.
Now you're talking!
Goofy snaps his fingers and the side of the box falls on him.
Let's go!
In a dark area, snow falls on a black and white castle made of gifts. The train crosses a drawbridge into the castle. Inside, Minnie sits tied up. Donald tries to put a crown on her.
Right, here we go. The Mouse King, played by Donald Duck, and who will win in the end, was attempting to crown Maria, as his duck mouse queen, or something like that.
I'd steal, Maria!
No! Never!
You heard the little lady. Let her go, you mousy monarch!
Donald picks up and twirls his scepter. He marches toward Mickey, who carries his sword. Donald blocks all of Mickey's attacks. He swings his scepter at Mickey. Goofy tries to untie Minnie. He adds another set of bows to the ribbon binding her, then accidentally ties his hands together. Mickey dodges Donald's scepter, then kicks him in the backside. Donald leaps over Mickey and kicks him. Goofy struggles to free Minnie with scissors, a saw, a torch, and a jackhammer. Mickey and Donald sword fight, with Donald using his scepter. Mickey shaves off a patch of Donald's feathers. Donald swings his scepter at Mickey, who clings to it. Donald leaps over Mickey and plummets off of an icy pathway. With Minnie still tied up, Goofy drags her over to Mickey. He uses his sword to cut her bindings. Mickey, Minnie, and Goofy rush out of the castle.
And so they made their escape, except for Goofy. The magical snow fairy who was captured by Donald? No, the Mouse King. Oh, you get the idea.
Goofy stands trapped inside Donald's scepter.
Arriving safely at home, the Nutcracker and Maria sought to close the way to the Mouse King's world, but they've forgotten about the train!
The train barrels through the gift boxes outside the castle entrance. Riding on the engine, Donald chases Mickey and Minnie down the tracks. Using candy canes, the mice tear the tracks apart. The toy train splits in two, sending Donald bouncing on the floor. The pieces collide where Donald lands. Mickey and Minnie climb up to the Christmas tree. Donald shoots a blast from his scepter. The energy turns a gingerbread man to a gingerbread skeleton. A catapult launches Donald toward the tree. He aims his scepter at Mickey and Minnie. Mickey pulls down a branch, dropping ornaments on Donald. Mickey and Minnie scramble to the top of the tree. Donald and Mickey battle with their weapons. Mickey cuts down the star ornament topping the tree, and it lands on Donald's head. Minnie trips Donald with her candy cane. He tumbles down the side of the tree, hitting several ornaments along the way. He rides a tiny wagon down a string of beads to the floor. He lands beside his scepter, which zaps him into his glass orb.
Donald, Donald the Mouse King was stopped by Mickey the Nutcracker and trapped in his own scepter.
Oh, you said I would win.
Sorry, I made a mistake.
I got card games.
Donald spots Goofy trapped inside with him.
Oh, no.
Go on, Donald. Pick a card. Any card.
Under a spotlight, Mickey and Minnie march in a circle. He twirls his sword, then spins Minnie. They march in a circle. They face each other and hold hands.
And so Maria, and her handsome nutcracker, played by Mickey, lived happily ever.
Thank you for getting this back to me.
I thought you were gone.
Oh, no, I just needed to get my scepter back.
Your scepter?
Yes, this little fellow in here usurped me. Now that I got it back, I can resume my royal duties as the king of the Sugar Plum Fairies.
Oh, now really, you are not the king of the Sugar Plum Fairies.
Oh, I sure am.
Ludwig sprouts wings.
Come on, little guys, let's go.
Tiny fairies fly after him.
And that, my dear friends, ends the tale of the Nutcracker and Goofy and the Duck King of the Mice. And I have no idea what that Sugar Plum Fairy nonsense had to do with any of it. I'm out of here.
In the House of Mouse, the Beast holds Belle's hand.
This is turning out to be a wonderful Christmas.
We finished our house.
I knew Mickey wouldn't let us down.
It's good to see that a Merry Christmas is being had by all.
So, Donald, you feeling jolly yet?
I say, come on.
I did everything I could think of. I guess Donald's just never going to have the Christmas spirit.
On the roof, Mickey sulks over to a snow-covered air vent and sits. Jiminy Cricket approaches.
Why so glum, Mickey?
Well, I wanted to throw a party and make it a Merry Christmas for everybody. But my good pal Donald's missing out.
Now, Mickey, the Christmas spirit doesn't come from a party. It comes from sharing the holidays with family and friends. And it seems to me that Donald has the best friend anyone could want in you.
Gee, I guess you're right. And all I wish is for everyone to have a Merry Christmas. Even that humbug Donald.
Well, haven't you ever wished upon a star? Your dreams just might come true.
They gaze at a brilliant star.
Gosh, I wish that home or away, with family or friends, whether you've got the fanciest decorations or the humblest little tree, that everyone could have the Christmas spirit.
The star does a loop in the sky and soars down to Mickey. It trails sparkle dust as it flies to the rooftop and lands in Mickey's outstretched hands.
Gosh.
In the House of Mouse.
Say, Donald.
What do you want?
Well, I want my best friend to put the star on the tree.
You want me to do it?
Aw, you bet I do.
Donald takes the glowing star to the Christmas tree and places it on top.
Merry Christmas!
The tree grows taller, and golden tinsel appears around it. The star flashes a brilliant light. Around the House of Mouse, green garland transforms into gold, and red bows appear on it.
It's magical.
Goofy lifts a plate cover, and a feast appears on the dwarf's table. Dopey grins and wiggles his ears. Garland turns gold around the magic mirror, and a Santa hat appears on the mirror spirit's head. The sorcerer's hat turns into a Santa hat, and Jafar's staff becomes a candy cane. On stage, Garland turns into gold as Huey, Dewey, and Louie perform in their band.
Ooh, pretty!
A red bow becomes a golden wreath in the shape of Mickey's head and ears, and words on the screen spell Merry Christmas in several languages.
That old star never lets you down.
Now, before we sing our Christmas carol, I want to share one of my favorite Christmas stories with Donald and all my friends.
A movie plays. In it, a roving view descends on a street lined with tightly packed buildings, all covered in snow. Uncle Scrooge McDuck trudges down the street with a sack slung over his shoulder. A wolf in a Santa costume rings a bell, and the three little pigs sing. A dog holds out his paw.
Give a penny for the poor, Governor. Penny for the poor.
Scrooge scowls and walks to a building. A snow-covered sign bears the word Marley crossed out.
My partner, Jacob Marley, dead 7 years today. He was a good'un. He robbed from the widows and swindled the poor. In his will, he left me enough money to pay for his tombstone. And I had him buried at sea.
Scrooge enters the office, and Mickey stands at attention.
Good morning, Mr. Scrooge.
Cratchit, what are you doing with that piece of coal?
I was just trying to thaw out the ink.
Bah! You used a piece last week.
Scrooge knocks it away.
Now, get on with your work, Cratchit.
Speaking of work, Mr. Scrooge, tomorrow is Christmas, and I was wondering if I could have a half a day off.
Christmas, eh? I suppose so. But I'll dock you half a day's pay. Now, let's see. I pay you 2 shillings a day.
Two shillings and a halfpenny, sir.
Oh, yes. I gave you that raise 3 years ago.
Yes, sir, when I started doing your laundry.
All right, Cratchit. Get busy while I go over my books. Oh, and here. Here's another bundle of shirts for you.
He tosses a sack to Mickey.
Yes, sir.
Scrooge sits at his coin-covered desk.
Let's see now. £50, 10 shillings from Macduff, plus his 80% interest, compounded daily.
He embraces the coins.
Money, money, money.
Merry Christmas!
And a Merry Christmas to you, Master Fred.
Bah, humbug.
Merry Christmas, Uncle Scrooge.
What's so merry about it? I'll tell you what Christmas is. It's just another work day, and any jackanapes who thinks else should be boiled in his own pudding.
But, sir, Christmas is a time for giving, a time to be with one's family.
I say bah, humbug.
I don't care. I say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Well said, Master Fred.
Cratchit, what are you doing?
I was just trying to keep my hands warm, sir.
Mickey goes back to work.
And what are you doing here, nephew?
I've come to give you a wreath and invite you to Christmas dinner.
Well, I suppose you're going to have plump goose with chestnut dressing?
Yep.
And will you have plum pudding and lemon sauce?
Yeah, plum pudding.
And candied fruits with spiced sugar cakes?
Yeah, will you come?
Are you daft, man? You know I can't eat that stuff. Here's your wreath back. Now out, out, out!
He kicks Donald outside.
Bah! Humbug.
Merry Christmas!
And a bah humbug to you.
That Fred, always so full of kindness.
Aye, he always was a little peculiar. And stubborn.
A rat and a mole enter.
Ooh! Customers, I'll handle this, Cratchit. Yes, what can I do for you two gentlemen?
Sir, we are soliciting funds for the indigent and destitute.
For the what?
We're collecting for the poor.
Oh, aha. Well, you realize if you give money to the poor, they won't be poor anymore, will they?
Well,
And if they're not poor anymore, then you won't have to raise money for them anymore.
Well, I suppose...
And if you don't have to raise money for them anymore, then you would be out of a job. Oh, please, gentlemen, don't ask me to put you out of a job, not on Christmas Eve.
Oh, we wouldn't do that, Mr. Scrooge.
Well, then, I suggest you give this to the poor and be gone.
Scrooge tosses Donald's wreath onto the mole's nose and slams the door.
What's this world coming to, Cratchit? You work all your life to get money, and people want you to give it away.
Nighttime. Mickey warms his hands near a lamp hanging over his desk. He rubs his hands together and blows on them. He starts to write. Mickey smiles and looks at the wall clock. He finishes a line of writing and closes his ledger. The clock's hands point to 7 o'clock. Scrooge checks his pocket watch.
2 minutes fast.
Mickey returns to his desk.
Well, never mind those 2 minutes. You may go now.
Ha! Oh, thank you, sir! You're so kind!
Never mind the mushy stuff. Just go. But be here all the earlier the next day.
I will, sir! And a bah humbug!
Mickey takes the laundry sack.
A Merry Christmas to you, sir!
He leaves. Later, the hands on the clock tower outside point to 9 o'clock. Scrooge steps out of his office. He glances at the sign, then strikes it with his cane, knocking off the snow covering his name. Clutching the collar of his coat closed and walking with his cane, Scrooge trudges down the snow-covered vacant street. Scrooge approaches a house with a green door adorned with a golden knocker shaped like a lion's head. As he turns a key in the lock, the knocker transforms into Goofy's head and speaks.
Scrooge! Jacob Marley? No, that can't be!
Scrooge pinches the knocker's nose.
Ow!
Scrooge bolts inside. He cowers in the foyer. He glares at the door.
Bah!
Scrooge climbs the staircase. Dragging the shadows of chains behind him, a shadow shaped like Goofy creeps after the duck. Scrooge startles and turns around, but the shadowy figure disappears. Scrooge climbs, and the shadow appears again. Brandishing his cane, Scrooge turns but finds the shadow gone. He peers over the banister, frantically searching the room below. Glancing around, Scrooge cautiously continues climbing the stairs. The Goofy shadow creeps after him. It lifts the top hat from Scrooge's head. The old duck pokes behind him with his cane, tickling the shadow. Scrooge turns and spots the shadow. The old miser duck bolts into an upstairs bedroom. He fastens several locks, then leans back against the door. Scrooge hides in a chair.
Go away!
Goofy's ghost walks through the door. He slips on Scrooge's cane and crashes to the floor.
Oh, gosh, kinda slippery.
Scrooge cowers in the chair, hiding his face.
Scrooge, don't you recognize me? I was your partner, Jacob Marley.
Scrooge lights a candle and examines the ghost.
Marley, it is you.
Ebenezer, remember when I was alive, I robbed the widows and swindled the poor?
Yes, and all in the same day. Oh, you had class, Jacob.
Yep. No, no! I was wrong! And so as punishment, I'm forced to carry these heavy chains through eternity! Maybe even longer. There's no hope. I am doomed! Doomed! And the same thing will happen to you, Ebenezer Scrooge.
No. No, it can't. It mustn't. Help me, Jacob.
Tonight, you will be visited by three spirits. Listen to them. Do what they say, or your chains will be heavier than mine.
Goofy backs away.
Farewell, Ebenezer.
He spots the cane and pulls back.
Oh.
Picking up his chains, Goofy steps over the cane.
Farewell!
Marley! Watch out for that fist! Step.
Later, wearing pajamas and a nightcap, Scrooge holds his candle to the fireplace and peers up into the chimney. Cautiously, he steps toward the bed and pauses. Crouching, he sweeps the candle back and forth as he searches beneath the bed. He glares at the door.
Spirits.
Scrooge sets the candle on the nightstand and climbs into bed. He blows the candle out.
Humbug.
Scrooge closes the canopy curtains around his bed. The curtains sway in and out. Jiminy Cricket hops onto the nightstand. He lights the candle, then taps an alarm clock's bell with his umbrella. Jiminy taps the bell again.
What?
Scrooge awakens.
Well, it's about time. Haven't got all night, you know.
Who are you?
Why, I'm the Ghost of Christmas Past.
His medal reads Ghost of Christmas Past Official.
Oh, I thought you'd be taller.
Hmm, Listen, Scrooge, if men were measured by kindness, you'd be no bigger than a speck of dust.
Kindness is of little use in this world.
You didn't always think so. Come on, Scrooge. It's time to go.
Then go.
Jiminy bounds across the room and onto a windowsill. He unlatches the window and opens it.
Spirit! What are you doing?
We're going to visit your past.
I'm not going out there. I'll fall.
Just hold on.
Scrooge clutches Jiminy.
Not too tight now.
Jiminy opens his umbrella and floats out of the window. Scrooge dangles from the flying cricket. They soar over the town's snow-covered rooftops. Scrooge runs across a line of chimneys as they pass. He flies through a puff of smoke from another chimney, then glances down and cowers on top of Jiminy.
What's wrong, Scrooge? I thought you enjoyed looking down on the world.
They float over the snow-covered rooftops. They descend to the street in front of a building bearing a sign, Fezziwig Tea Company.
Spirit, I believe I know this place. Yes! It's old Fezziwig's. I couldn't have worked for a kinder man.
Scrooge wipes off the window and gazes through it. Inside, several animals dance before a Christmas tree. Mr. Toad plays a fiddle.
Why, it's old Fezziwig himself! And all of my very dearest friends!
In a corner, a younger Scrooge sits on a box, staring off with a sad look.
And that shy lad in the corner, that's me!
Yes, that was before you became a miserable miser, consumed by greed.
Well, nobody's perfect. And there's lovely Isabel.
Daisy Duck approaches the young Scrooge.
Ebenezer? Ebenezer?
Yes, Isabel?
My eyes are closed, my lips are puckered, and I'm standing under the mistletoe.
You're also standing on my foot.
Daisy takes Scrooge's hand and pulls him into a dance. Chip and Dale dance on top of a hay bale. Huey, Dewey, and Louie decorate a Christmas tree. Daisy puckers her beak towards Scrooge, and he turns his face away. She kisses him on the cheek. Hearts burst around Scrooge's head, and he wears a dazed smile. The older Scrooge watches through a window.
Oh, I remember how much I was in love with her.
A gust of wind blows.
In 10 years' time, you learn to love something else.
Why? Why, it's my counting house. 9,972. 9,000...
Ebenezer?
Yes, what is it?
For years I've had this honeymoon cottage, Ebenezer. I've been waiting for you to keep your promise to marry me. Now I must know, have you made your decision?
I have. Your last payment on the cottage was an hour late. I'm foreclosing the mortgage.
Hearts surrounding Daisy break, and she walks to the door.
You loved your gold more than that precious creature, and you lost her forever.
9,970.
Stacks of coins collapse on young Scrooge's desk.
3. Please, Spirit, I can no longer bear these memories. Take me home.
Remember, Scrooge, you fashioned these memories yourself.
In Scrooge's bedroom, the bells on the alarm clock chime at 2:00.
Why was I so foolish? Why?
A light shines through the canopy curtains.
What's this?
3, 5, 4, 4. I smell.
Near the bed, a giant sits surrounded by food.
A stingy little Englishman. I think I do.
He picks up Scrooge and sniffs him.
I do.
Please, let me go. Don't eat me.
Why would the ghost of Christmas present, that's me, want to eat a distasteful little miser like you? Especially when there are so many good things to enjoy in life. See?
Oh, mince pies, turkeys, suckling pig.
And don't forget the chocolate pot roast with pistachio. With yogurt.
But where did all this come from?
From the hut, Scrooge.
Scrooge lands on grapes.
It's the food of generosity, which you have long denied your fellow man.
Generosity, ha! Nobody has ever shown me generosity.
You've never given them reason to. And yet, there are some who still find enough warmth in their hearts, even for the likes of you.
No acquaintance of mine, I assure you.
You'll see.
The giant lifts the roof off of Scrooge's house and steps outside. He closes the roof and plucks a street lamp from the sidewalk. Twisting off the top, he turns the lamp into a flashlight. The giant sweeps the light in front of him as he strolls through the streets. He lifts the roof of another building and shines the lamp inside it. Kneeling before a lit window, the giant pulls Scrooge out of his pocket.
Here we are.
He drops the old duck in front of the window.
Why did you bring me to this old shack?
This is the home of your overworked, underpaid employee, Bob Cratchit.
Mickey and his kids decorate a tree. Minnie uncovers a dish.
What's she cooking, a canary? Surely they have more food than that. Look on the fire.
Water bubbles in a boiling pot. Oh,
that's your laundry.
Minnie sets the meager meal on a table.
Not yet, children. We must wait for Tiny Tim.
Coming, Father. I'm coming.
A little mouse uses a crutch. Mickey picks him up and tosses him in the air. He sets Tiny Tim at the table.
Oh, my! Look at all the wonderful things to eat! We must thank Mr. Scrooge.
Tell me, Spirit, what's wrong with that kind lad?
Much, I'm afraid. If these shadows remain unchanged, I see an empty chair where Tiny Tim once sat.
Tiny Tim offers a drumstick to Mickey, and he hugs the young mouse.
Then that means Tim will...
The lights go out.
Where did they go? Spirit, where are you?
Don't go. You must tell me about Tim. Don't go!
Blue smoke descends around Scrooge. He notices a tombstone and startles.
Where did...
A puff of smoke falls on Scrooge, and he peers upward.
Who are you?
A hooded figure towers over him.
Are you the ghost of Christmas future?
The figure nods.
Please, speak to me. Tell me, what will happen to Tiny Tim?
The cloaked ghost points to a gravesite where Mickey and his family gather. Minnie and the children walk off, leaving Mickey alone. He holds Tiny Tim's crutch and tears well in his eyes. Mickey props the crutch against the tombstone, then leaves.
Oh, no! Spirit, I didn't want this to happen. Tell me these events can yet be changed.
Two weasels fill in a nearby grave.
I've never seen a funeral like this one.
Aye, no mourners, no friends to bid him farewell.
Oh, well, let's rest a minute before we fill it in, eh? But he ain't going nowheres.
The weasels walk off, and Scrooge looks into the open grave.
Spirit, whose lonely grave is this?
The hooded figure strikes a match on the tombstone, revealing Scrooge's name.
Why, yours, Ebenezer? The richest man in the cemetery!
He pushes Scrooge into the grave. Scrooge catches a root and dangles above the coffin at the bottom of the pit. The coffin's lid opens and smoke and flames pour out.
No, no, no! No, no!
Clutching at the root, Scrooge slips closer to the fire. The root breaks free from the grave wall, and Scrooge tumbles into the flames. In his bedroom, the canopy curtain falls over him.
Spirit! Let me out! Let me out!
He untangles himself and scans the empty room.
I'm back in my own room.
Scrooge runs to the window and throws it open.
It's Christmas morning! I haven't missed it! The spirits have given me another chance! Oh, I know just what I'll do. They'll be so surprised.
He steps on his top hat, then puts it on.
Oh, what a wonderful day. Oh, there's so much to do. Oh, so much to do.
He leaves. Scrooge returns, still in his bedclothes.
I can't go out like this.
He picks up his cane.
There.
Outside, children play.
Merry Christmas to one and all.
On his front step, Scrooge slides down his banister.
Well, bless me. Good morning, gentlemen. I've something for you.
He fills the mole's hat with coins.
20 gold sovereigns. Oh, no.
Not enough? Well, all right. 50 gold sovereigns.
Really, Mr. Scrooge, it's
still not enough. Aye, you drive a hard bargain. Here you are. 100 gold pieces. And not a penny more.
Scrooge clicks his heels.
Thank you, Mr. Scrooge. Thank you. And a Merry Christmas to you.
Scrooge strolls down the street, greeting townsfolk.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Donald drives a horse-drawn carriage and comes to a sudden stop in front of Scrooge.
Ah, nephew.
Uncle Scrooge.
I'm looking forward to that wonderful meal of yours.
You mean you're coming?
Of course I am. You know how much I like candied fruits with spiced sugar cakes. I'll be over promptly at 2. Keep it piping hot.
A meal, Uncle Scrooge, a meal. And a very Merry Christmas to you.
Later, Scrooge exits a toy store.
Merry Christmas and keep the change.
He carries a bulging sack over his shoulder.
Wonderful, lads. And now for Cratchit.
He runs to Mickey's house and knocks on the door. Scrooge adopts a scowl.
Why, Mr. Scrooge! Merry Christmas!
He barges in.
Well, won't you come in?
Merry Christmas! I have another bundle for you.
He drops the sack, and a teddy bear falls out.
But, sir, it's Christmas Day.
Christmas Day, indeed. Just another excuse for being lazy. And another thing, Cratchit. I've had enough of this half-day-off stuff. You leave me no alternative but to give you...
Toys!
Yes, toys. No. I'm giving you a raise and making you my partner.
A partner?
The family finds food and toys in the sack. Oh,
thank you, Mr. Scrooge.
Merry Christmas, Bob.
And God blesses everyone.
Sitting in a rocker, Scrooge holds Tiny Tim on his lap. He puts his top hat on the little mouse's head. The other kids climb onto the chair with him.
Isn't it just grand to say, oh, what a Merry Christmas Day!
At the House of Mouse, Donald sits in a chair and wears a smile. Jiminy lands on the armrest. Using his umbrella like a baton, the cricket conducts Lumiere.
Here we are, warm and cozy by the fire's glow.
Singing songs and stealing kisses under the mistletoe.
We've finished our feast!
And the tastiest treats!
But the spirit of Christmas just isn't complete
without true friends and family and the memories we recall. It's the love we share that fills the air and makes this the best Christmas of all.
Something special underneath the tree.
We hope it fits you.
Making a wish on a sparkling light.
But that's not what makes this so magical now. It's our true friends and family and the memories we recall.
The best Christmas.
us share our Christmas spirit with you. Merry Christmas, everybody!
Tinkerbell flies to the glowing star atop the Christmas tree and taps it with her wand.